Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke the 5th chapter. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And I'm sorry, verse 12. And what did I do with that? Luke 5, beginning with verse 12. You know, getting old is tough. Well, yesterday we worked all day, and I'll be honest with you, I gave out about 3 o'clock, 3:30. I just, whew. But as you get older, you come to realize that. I came across this about an older gal gave this testimony. She said, I feel like my body has gotten totally out of shape. So I went to my doctor and got permission to join a fitness club and start exercising. She said, I decided to take an aerobics class for seniors. She said, I bent, twisted, gyrated, jumped up and down, and perspired for an hour. But by the time I got my leotards on, the class was over. Getting old's tough. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Father, we come before you again, needy. A needy people, needy of that touch from heaven, needy of that ministry of the Holy Spirit in hearts and lives. Father, I can talk to the outside, but you must talk to the inside. We want to hold up the Lord Jesus Christ once again today. We want to make clear the need of Christ. We want to be a help and a blessing to these folks who have gathered together here this morning. They've come needing something, expecting something, much more than I could ever give. And we pray that you would just anoint this service with the blessing and power and presence of your Holy Spirit and do a work in hearts here. Save those who are here without Christ. Encourage those who are here, saved, born again, maybe struggling in some areas. Whatever the need is, I pray that you would answer it according to your will and by your word. Lord, use me today, once again, just a messenger boy. Help me to say what you would want said. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Titled this, Seeking the Master's Touch. Seeking the Master's Touch. We have before us this morning one of the many accounts of a miracle being performed by the Lord Jesus Christ while he walked this earth in his three and a half year ministry. Now, we're not really told what city this event happened in, though it very possibly could have been Capernaum. We don't know for sure. Capernaum, of course, was a city on the edge of the Lake of Gennesaret. And the Bible tells us this miracle had taken place as soon as they had come to land, having been out on the lake. Now, the Bible does give us some very pointed details. It tells us that a man full of leprosy came and fell down before Jesus and pleaded with him for a healing. Now, in order to truly understand this man's need and the depth of it, we need to understand a little bit about this disease of leprosy. Leprosy is a disease, biblical leprosy, was a disease that actually would eat away at the body from the inside out. Leprosy would attack the extremities first and work inward. Leprosy would produce putrid sores and constant drainage from these sores, and it was the cause of great pain and suffering, unbelievable pain and suffering. But not only were the pain and suffering physically strong for somebody who had leprosy, but there was also a great toll socially for those who had leprosy. Lepers were not permitted to live within a community. They were banished to colonies outside the city. Lepers could have no physical contact with anyone other than another leper. We are even taught that when passing another person, lepers would have to cross the walk and put their hand over their upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean," lest the person come close to them and contact leprosy. So we have this leper coming to Jesus, and he's begging for a healing from Christ. It's also interesting as we read to see how Jesus healed him. We know from other places that Jesus could have merely spoken the word and this man would have been healed. It's interesting, though, God's Word tells us that Jesus reached down and touched him. And by his touch, Jesus was showing or demonstrating several different things. One, his touch was showing how much he cared, his compassion. A second thing, he was showing his willingness to touch and engage with those the world would have nothing to do with. And then it also showed his ability to deliver man from the most severe circumstances. He made clear with his touch his ability to make clean what was putrefied and vile. This morning we too need the touch from Jesus. We need that touch from the Master that can cleanse us from our sin and set us free from sin's power and bondage. We need that touch today that can change our lives, and even more importantly, that will change our eternal destiny. You see, just as it was in the day that we're reading about here, it's still true today. There is great power in the touch of Jesus Christ. There is power to do whatever is needed in our lives. You know, I've thought about this. This morning, we don't need another president or Congress to fix our country. We don't need another loan or credit card to fix our financial situation. We don't need another doctor or wonder drug to cure us. What we need most today is a touch from Jesus Christ. And I believe this morning each of us must seek the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you several reasons why we need to seek that touch. Number one, we need to seek it because of the potential of His touch. This is a man with leprosy. Not very pretty, is it? The potential of His touch. We read here in our text, as it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Make note of that. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face beside him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy was departed from him. I want you to notice a few things. Number one, Jesus, by his touch, met the need of this leper, a man who was full of leprosy. Now the Bible's specific here. It wants us to understand he was not in the early stages. He was covered with this thing and maybe looked like this man who had already lost extremities because of it. Full of leprosy. And that indicates to us this man was far beyond any human help. In reality, this man had a death sentence on him. It's just a matter of time. There was absolutely nothing man could do for this leper. He was eaten up with leprosy and there was no cure for it. But as we read, hallelujah, we thank God that we read Jesus touched him and his leprosy was immediately cured. Now, I want you to understand this. There is great potential in the touch of Jesus Christ. His touch met the need, not only of this leper, but you know, as we read the Bible, how many times we find his touch meeting the need of other people? You want to talk about grace and mercy? You know, Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law and healed her. Anytime a mother-in-law gets healed, that's grace and mercy. Amen. But seriously, we read about he went to Peter's house and Peter's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus touched her, healed her. We read one time about he's in Jericho and he comes across two blind men who are calling out to him and he touched these two blind men and he gave them their sight. We're very, very familiar with the story of Jairus' daughter. Remember how he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter and the woman touches his garment and he stops and he's dealing with her and pretty soon they come and they say, never mind, the girl's dead. And he touched her and raised her up. He can do that. He, by his touch, made the deaf and mute man to be able to hear and speak. By his touch, he raised a widow's son at the funeral. I love that story. Interrupting a funeral. Why? The nerve. I would love to see it today. I preach funerals. I would love for Jesus to walk in and interrupt one. Amen. That would quiet the naysayers, wouldn't it? Probably upset the undertaker, too. But he comes across this funeral procession, and of course it wasn't like today. You know, somebody died, they would just wrap him up and start carrying him down to the graveyard on a bier or some sort, and they're just going to put him in a hole in the ground, bury him, you know, not like our $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 funerals of today, where you have to have a casket with an inner foam mattress or inner spring mattress, you know, and you got to have a vault that will seal forever and no water will ever in all eternity get into it. Let me give you a tip. You don't need any of that. We came from dust. We're going back to it. Whether we're in a vault, a casket with a nice mattress or a pine box or just a hole in the ground. Save yourself a lot of money. Amen. But see, he comes across this procession. This widow's bawling her eyes out because that's her only son. And in those days, a woman by herself had no means of supporting herself. She had to have the man, the son, the husband, somebody. And she's weeping and wailing. And Jesus stops the procession. And he goes over and he touches the boy and raises him up and gives him back to mama. You think she was excited? She's probably still shouting hallelujah. But he could do that just as touch. By his touch, he replaced the ear of Malchus, the high servant's or high priest's service. I love that story. How they're coming to arrest Jesus and Peter. Oh, bless his heart. Peter was so... put your foot in your mouth, Peter, you know? Anyway, he pulls out the sword and he cuts the servant's of the high priest's ear off. Now get the picture. Here's a guy standing there, his ears on the ground. Jesus said, put up thy sword. And then he reached down and got the ear and put it back. Hey, this isn't Star Trek. This isn't some movie. This is reality. He picked the ear up by his touch, put it right back where it belonged. I'm saying all that because I want you to understand there is power in the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' touch, therefore, can meet the need of every one of us. You see, there's potential in the touch that He can give. You know, His touch alone can deliver us from our sin and our sentence of hell. We know we're sinners. The Bible has declared, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners before a just and righteous and holy God. So much so that He separated Himself from us because He cannot fellowship with sin. And we all owe that debt, that penalty we talk about in Sunday school for our sin. We're guilty. We owe. But all who will put their faith in Christ and in Him alone for salvation will receive eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are wonderful verses. And it reminds us all it takes for salvation is the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it wasn't anything this leper did that cleansed him. Nod your little head like this. He didn't do anything. All he did was come to the Master, and the Master did it all for him. And that's exactly what happens when you get saved. You come to the Master, nothing you do, and you just beg for mercy and pray for that touch. And, oh, just touch me, I need you. And His touch will do everything that needs to be done. It's so sad that so many today are trying to deal with their sin problem and they're sentenced to hell their own way. Being good people, going to church, being religious, getting baptized, wearing a crucifix, however they might think that somehow they're making their own way. But I got news for you. Just like that leper could never cure himself, you cannot cure your sin problem. There's only one who can handle it. And He's very willing to do so. Everyone must seek the touch of Jesus because of the potential of His touch. The ability to do what we need is there. But secondly, I want you to notice, because of the power of His touch, notice those broken shackles. 13, the latter part of the verse. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. See, I like this because when Jesus touched this leper's life, things changed. And let me just throw in there, when Jesus touches your life, things change. Things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Now, there was great power in His touch. And anybody who's ever been touched by Jesus has been changed by that touch. The leper was healed completely, cleansed, made whole. You know, I thought about Naaman. How many of you know the story of Naaman? Nobody, huh? Well, in the Old Testament, there's a high military man named Naaman. He's got leprosy. His wife has a little Jewish girl who's her servant. The Jewish girl says to her Naaman's wife, you know, there's a man of God over in Israel that could tell him how to be cured. His name's Elisha. So the wife goes to her husband and says, hey, that little Jew girl over there, she said there's a prophet over there named Elisha, says he can tell you how to be cured of your leprosy. So Naaman, he gets on his high horse. Speak. He gets himself an entourage together, you know. He's going to go meet with this guy. I'm Naaman. So he sends word, I'm a coming. Make sure that Elijah fellow's ready to meet me. And the Bible says when he got there, he knocked. And he knocked again. Elijah wouldn't even come to the door. Elijah sent a servant to tell Naaman. Boy, did Naaman get upset. Who's he think he's talking to? I'm Naaman. Yeah, you're also a leper. But I'm Naaman. This guy Elisha, he should have met with me. I'm somebody. But the servant told him, the prophet said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. You'll be clean. Bible says Naaman went away wroth, angry, upset. Number one, he had been dissed by this man. No respect at all for him. Number two, he told him to go dip in the Jordan River. That's a filthy river. He said, aren't there other rivers that are cleaner and better that I could go dip? I got to dip in the Jordan River. I'm not doing that. But you know, his servants came to him and they said, Master, if the man of God would have told you to go do some great military might thing, you would have done it in a minute. If he would have told you to do anything that you could have done in your own power, you wouldn't have hesitated. But because he told you to do such a humble thing like dipping in a Jordan River, you're saying you won't do it. You need to just go do what he said to do. So Naaman finally acquiesces and he said, all right, I'll go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Got leprosy. Death sentence. And the Bible says he went over there and he dipped in that Jordan 7 times. And here's why I told you all that. It said when he came out of that water the 7th time, that his flesh was like unto the flesh of a little child. You ever seen a little child's flesh? It don't have the scars and, you know, all the mess that we have. I mean, it's just so pure and nice and soft. And Naaman went from being a leper with rotting flesh to the place where he had flesh like that of a newborn child. And you know, when I thought about this leper who had all this leprosy and things, and Jesus touches him, and I believe he had the same kind of flesh that Naaman had. Can you imagine when all the people around him saw that? Wow, look at this! But he's been cleansed. And not only did that change the fact that now no more pain, no more suffering, no more hurt, but his social situation has also changed. His life now is completely different. Now he can be reunited with his family. Now he's free from all the restrictions of social interaction and all because of his leprosy. He has a brand new life. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? He gives us a brand new life. When Jesus touches us, our lives change. You see, he tells us he rebirths us. That's what being born again is all about. Let me say this. I'm not afraid of the terminology of born again. I use it often. I throw it at people. Why? Because that's what they need. They need to be born again. They need that time when Jesus touches their life and they become new creatures with a new life. He rebirths us. The Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The person who receives Jesus Christ as our Savior receives a new mind, a new heart, a new attitude, a new set of values, a new desire, a new longing, a new vocabulary, and on we could go. And let me just say this. Those are some of the evidences that you've been saved. If you're the same old you that was there before you got saved, there's something bad wrong. He rebirths us and he reclaims us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all lost on our way to hell with no hope of heaven ever. We've been condemned because of our sin. John 3 verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But you see, we're under that condemnation. But when we came to Christ, that condemnation is lifted. He came to pay that sin debt we owe. He came and did everything that had to be done to satisfy the justice of Almighty God. He came to pay the sin debt we owe to make a way for us to be back in fellowship with God. And then He redeems us by His power. We said in Sunday school about redeeming, that's paying the price to relieve something from ransom. Redeeming, buying back. Heard a story one time about a little boy built a little boat. He lived near a little lake thing, and so his daddy helped him build his little boat. And he loved to take it down there and sail it. He took it down there one day, and the weather got bad, and the wind whipped up and blew his boat away. He lost his boat. He was brokenhearted. It was his favorite toy, and he loved going down there and playing with the boat, but the boat was gone. Lost it. His boat. The one he and his daddy had built. The story goes on that several months later, he happened to be walking down the street and saw a secondhand store. And there in the window of that store was his boat. He did what you and I would do. He went in and told the guy, "Hey, you got my boat." The fellow said, "What do you mean?" "I built that boat. Me and my daddy built that boat. I sailed that boat all the time. It blew away in the storm. And now you got my boat. I want it back." He said, "Son, I bought that boat from somebody. And if you want that boat back, you're going to have to buy it." That little boy went home, got his piggy bank, got his money. And he went down there. Now watch this. He went down there and he bought back his own boat. He loved that boat so much, he was willing to buy back the boat that really belonged to him in the first place. You know, one day, God sent His Son to pay the price for a creation to buy us back. God's justice had to be satisfied. The price had to be paid. And Jesus was willing to come and pay that price. And He paid it for us. Jesus shed His blood to redeem us from our sin. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Every one of us must seek the touch of Jesus. Number three, because of the permanence of His touch. Isn't that beautiful? Monarch. Isn't that a monarch? We went down to Mays Landing last October. Pastor Fedena had invited us to come down. He said, "While you're here, you want to see the monarch butterflies. They pass through Mays Landing every year on their pilgrimage, I guess, to Mexico. Is that where they're going?" And he said, the fields are just full of them. Well, we got there and they were all gone. We saw a few here and there. Very beautiful creatures though, aren't they? And you talk about a miracle. Just examine one of those one day. Miracle. What's this got to do with anything? Well, I'm talking about the permanence of the touch of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And immediately the leprosy departed from him." This man's leprosy was completely healed. He wasn't healed for a little while, only to have it come back. The leprosy was gone forever. And this man's life was changed permanently. See, he would never have to live like a leper again. He could come out of the leper colony and go into town and fellowship with others. He'd never have to walk down the street and say, "Unclean, unclean," ever again. He would never have to suffer the pain and the hurt and the agony that this disease brought. See, the death sentence of the disease was lifted as well. He wouldn't have to die from leprosy. And it was a permanent change. It wasn't just for a week or a month. It was for the remainder of his life. I said all that because I want you to know this. Jesus' touch on our life is a permanent touch as well. What's that got to do with a butterfly? Do you know where they come from? They start out as caterpillars. And God has built into that caterpillar a time when that caterpillar will find a place and spin himself into a cocoon. And in that cocoon, changes begin to take place that nobody can see. Eventually, when everything is complete inside that cocoon, God has triggered that butterfly that's in there to now break his way out. See, a caterpillar don't come out. Caterpillar went in, but now he's been completely changed. No longer a caterpillar. He comes out a beautiful butterfly. And that's a permanent change. He can never go back to being a caterpillar. You getting it? He can never retrograde to being a caterpillar again. For now until the day that butterfly dies, he is going to be a butterfly. It's a permanent change. And friend, that's what happens when we get saved. It's a metamorphosis. It's something God does in us. It's a total change. We were vile, wicked, sinners on our way to hell till the Master touches us. And that touch results in a permanent change. Now we're saved, we're eternal, we're forgiven, we're on our way to heaven, and nothing can alter that, and we can never go back to where we came from. It's a permanent touch. And by the way, a part of that permanent touch is that hell is no longer a threat to us. We don't ever have to worry about where are we going when we die. If we're saved, it's settled. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're going to heaven. It's settled. By the way, something else, His touch satisfies us forever. Remember the woman at the well? And Jesus said, you know, if somebody gives you regular water, you're going to thirst again, but the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. I got saved in 1974, so that's 38 years. See how quick I did the math. Still got it. Amen. 38 years. And I want to tell you, I've never thirsted again. I haven't had to go look for another way. I haven't chased the Hare Krishnas. I haven't gone after the Muslims or the Buddhists. You know why? Because He's satisfied. I'm not thirsty. I drank of that water and my soul has been refreshed and satisfied. There's no need for anything else. Lastly, we want to talk about the possibility of His touch. We can have the touch of Jesus. We read about this leper here, and I want you to notice something. The leper came, and the leper asked, and the leper received. What's the point? Jesus responds to those who will come to Him. Jesus responds to those who will ask, seek, knock. Jesus responds to those who are willing to accept the gift. Open the door. Remember Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. He responds to those who are willing to invite, those who are willing to open the door, those who are willing to reach out and want to receive the gift. He will respond to that. The possibility's there. See, I want you to understand, nobody's turned away. I think that's part of what this leper story is in here for us to see. Nobody's turned away. Here is somebody the rest of society would not have anything to do with. Would not touch, didn't want to talk to, would not live with, isolated them, would have nothing to do with them, yet Jesus would. I think God wants us to understand nobody's beyond His reach. Nobody's beyond His touch. The possibility of His touch. He responds to those who come. But here's the thing, we must ask if we're going to receive. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I went soul winning Thursday night. I had two cards to follow up on. I went to the one, nobody was home. I went to the other one, somebody was home, but not the person I wanted to see. And the person I was there wasn't wanting to talk to me. It became pretty obvious. So I thought, well, what am I going to do now? It's only like 10 after 15 after 7. And I've exhausted my two things. What am I going to do? The Lord said, go down Center Square. Okay, Lord. So I went down Center Square. Now, a lot of times on Thursday night, I've gone to Center Square. And there's a lot of people milling around. And you can go handing out tracts and talking to people. I thought, well, that's what I'll do. So I drove down there. And when I got down, it was empty. Now, I don't know if it's because school's out or what the deal was. Beautiful Thursday evening. I mean, the weather was wonderful. Normally, there would be people out all over the place. I'm looking up and down the streets. I'm thinking, where is everybody? So I thought, well, Lord, what do I do? And Lord said, Center Square. Okay. So I parked the car. If you're from Boston, I parked the car. And got a bunch of tracks, headed down the street, handed out a couple of tracks, and I came across one of those bus things. And there was somebody sitting in there, so I went around the front. It was a little old lady. And I told her who I was. I said, I want to invite you to our church. I got to talking with her. And pretty soon it was evident she was interested in what I was saying, so I sat down beside her. And we talked a while. And I said, can I show you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven when you die? Because we started talking about spiritual things. She said, well, why? And so I opened the Bible, started going through some things with her. And pretty soon I looked at her and said, now, if you die, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She got a real puzzled look on her face. I said, well, let me rephrase it. If you had to stand before God, and He said, no, son, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Well, I've been trying. I said, oh, no, trying's over. You don't have to try. You have to trust. And we went through the plan of salvation. And she opened her heart to Jesus Christ. She got saved. You know, the miracle, even more a miracle, I guess, than the fact she was willing to trust Christ. And she came to that place where she realized, I have to call out to Him. I have to respond to Him. The fact she was 80 years old. Now, to some of you, that means nothing. But see, when you look at the statistics of people and their salvation experience, the younger they are, the more likely they are to get saved. The older they get, the less likely. When you get above 70, I mean, you're talking minute. I hate to use the word odds. But when they figure these things out, minute that a person that age will come to Christ. And she did. You know why? She was willing to call out. She was willing to admit, I need a Savior. And ask for that touch that has to come from Him. We all need a touch. We need a touch that only He can give. Seeking the Master's touch. Listen, His touch is not only sufficient for salvation, it's sufficient for every need in our life. This leper was not just cured, I believe he was saved. Jesus met every need of his life. And He can meet your need no matter what it is. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, are you saved? Has there been a time in your life where you realized you needed Christ just like this leper? And you called out. You opened that door and asked Jesus to come into your heart and in your life. Are you saved? If right now you have the assurance, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven because you've received Christ as your Savior, would you indicate that by raising your hand? I know, preacher, I know. No doubt in my mind, I settled it. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Here's my hand. God bless you. Put it down. I wonder, is there somebody here say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know. I'm concerned. And right now, the Holy Spirit's dealing with my heart. And preacher, I need somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved today. That's what I need. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up? I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to where you are. I want to pray for you. Preacher, that's my need. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but I want to know for sure. I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Believer, do you have some needs in your life that you're really, really struggling with? Would you be willing to come like that leper did and just fall at the feet of Jesus and hold up your need to Him and trust Him to take care of it? I wonder how many in this room will say, preacher, I have a need today, and it's really a serious need. And I am going to bring it to Jesus. I'm going to hold it up to Him, and I'm going to trust Him to meet my need. I know He can. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I have a need, preacher, and I'm holding up to Him right now. I know He's able. I'm coming to Him like that leper did, holding up my need before Him, crying out to Him, here's my hand. You can put it down. Let's stand together. Song number 301. 301. Here's the invitation. You need to be saved. As soon as we start to sing, come meet me right here. I'll shake your hand. And I'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take you to a quiet place, show you how to be saved. Christian friend of mine, you have a need. He's able. Would you come before Him just like that leper and lay your needs before Him? And look to Him for the answer. Bless this invitation, Lord. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ's compassion and caring and love and ability to meet our need no matter what it is or how serious it is. God, thank You for Your Word, how it shares with us these stories that You put in here for us to help us to understand and to trust. Move in the hearts of the folks that need to come today, especially those who need to be saved. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.